Lucy, I'm home.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. I am your host, Erica.
And I'm Lucy.
And we are on season 2, episode 3 of I Love Lucy, called The Anniversary Present. And this one aired September 29th, 1952. Directed by Mark Daniels, written by Jess Oppenheimer, Madeline Pugh, and Bob Carroll Jr. It was actually filmed in May. I think they did like a bunch.
They did like 5.
Okay, yeah. All at the same time, before the summer thing or break. So the synopsis here is the Ricardo's 11th wedding anniversary, which it was also the Ernez's 11th anniversary during this time, is approaching, and Lucy finds herself dropping hints to, not so subtle hints really, in Ricky's direction. Little does she realize that her husband has already made plans for the anniversary, having arranged to buy pearls from the neighbor, Grace Foster. His behavior and his trips to her apartment makes Lucy think that Ricky may be having an affair with Mrs. Foster. Dun, dun, dun. Yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
Because affairs are always funny.
Poor Mrs. Foster, like,
yes,
just make her out to be sleeping around with everyone, right?
Starting with the milkman. Well, yeah. She is fully dressed. And when she's on the phone, she's like, I mean, we'll talk about it, but she's very put together for someone whose husband is not home. Well, so,
what do you work? He works.
Well,
I guess it's a Saturday. We'll talk about it.
Where's that? Okay. So, off the bat, what do you give this? Or do you want to wait till the end to tell me what you think of this episode?
This episode?
Mm-hmm.
We can wait until the end.
Okay. And for our drinking purposes, since we kind of made it a theme, I've got the Red Bull.
The Red Bull. And I've just got coffee.
I'm sure I'll be getting warnings. Red Bull so bad. We think things are. And yet.
And yet.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So we open up with, speaking of coffee, Lucy is serving somebody coffee out the window.
You see Ricky, he like gets ready. He looks super excited that he's going to get
coffee in
like,
bed,
like coffee, maybe toast, something, meal, whatever.
On a tray. She comes in.
On a tray. Yeah. He's like, ooh, yay. And then.
No. Walks right past him.
Right past him. And it ends up being for the painters that are outside. Mm-hmm. But this is a brick building. So what are they painting?
Yeah, I'm guessing that they're painting the borders of the window. Yeah, the trim of the windows. Mm-hmm. But they needed a reason to have
scaffolding and
painter's outfits.
Painter thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Lucy covered in paint. But yeah, so she goes to serve them that. And by serve, it looks like she's just throwing it out the window. But she's probably just,
like a ledge.
Yeah.
Or something.
So, and coffee is pretty tricky because it didn't look like it was a cup with a lid on it. It's like,
or like a thermos. No.
Yeah, she gave him probably one of those Ivy coffee cups.
Whoops, drop it.
Oh no.
Ricky already, like from the very beginning of this episode, is acting a bit suspicious.
Yes.
As soon as she leaves, he asks for breakfast for a non-painter, which is himself.
If and you then were she to leaves see my notes for all of this, I think the most written word is obvious. Because the action of all these people is so obvious, but go on. Sorry.
So he sends her out and then he makes a call down to Grace Foster. And the reason he's calling is because he's decided to buy pearls for Lucy, but they're so expensive that he is wondering if he can get.
It's like fishing for a discount.
A discount, right?
Yeah.
She said she can give him 20% off, which is. You know, when it's very expensive, can be helpful.
Yeah. And she works for, is it Joseph Jewelry Company, which is a jewelry store in Burbank that still exists today.
Yes. Joseph of Hollywood.
Joseph of Hollywood. Yeah.
Exists. It supplied gems, things like that to motion pictures. It's been doing that since 1928. And Lucy actually wore few pieces in Du Barry Was a Lady and Annabelle Takes a Tour. They did, you know, most of the ornate pieces that are worn in I Love Lucy as well. And so it's kind of like a shout out to them. They do that a lot. You know, they
kind of like a thank you. So kind of mention them, like give them a shout out. Yeah. And I do notice she's wearing her Eloise Jensen polka dot dress. I think you have a version of that. yourself. And it's a very famous Lucy, you know, blue polka dot with the high collar, white.
Yeah, mine's black polka dot, but oh, I want to get a blue
okay.
polka dot.
Okay.
One.
Yeah. And so Eloise Jensen, she wore a lot of her dresses. They're the very famous, you know, the ones you picture in your mind when you think of Lucy episodes. But yeah, she's wearing that here. And I think she has a different variation of it later, but still the same kind of look. So she, he calls down to Mrs. Foster. Now here's where I start writing the word obvious until I can get.
Till the end of time.
Yeah. So, you know, he's, you know, whispering because he's trying to keep this a surprise. But as soon as she comes in to ask about breakfast, he's like, yeah, so Sam.
Say Sam again. Right. And then been done with it. But
that's right, Sam, because nobody talks like that in the natural conversation, saying the name over and over. And what I love is after he's done with this fake conversation, she's like, who is that?
Yes, I love that. Who was that?
After he said the name, it's a tuba player, you know, he's part of the tuba. Oh my gosh. Grace Foster, we see her a little bit. Like I said, she's very dressed up, you know, just hanging out in her apartment. She's got this, now she was mentioned in the previous, you know, episode with the milkman and all that, because her husband is thinking that she's having an affair with the milkman. Again, this woman is just being accused left and right. And she's played by Gloria Blondell. And she's the younger sister of Joan Blondell. She co-starred with Ronald Reagan in Accidents Will Happen. And most of her work was in the 40s. I did not know that she was the voice of Disney's Daisy Duck. I would love to hear that. And
yes, me too. Like watch a video of her doing.
Yeah, voice, I had no idea. Know? And a few months after the episode, she was cast sort of like an Ethel Mertz type in The Life of Riley, did 30 episodes of that. So I think you only see her the one time here. So, you know, she's mentioned a couple of times.
I do have to say that, like, okay, it was a Saturday. She was obviously going out because she said she's only going to be there for 30 more minutes.
Oh, yes.
So that's probably why she's put together.
Where's she going?
You don't know. Maybe she's allowed to have friends.
She has work.
No breakfast.
She's going to Joseph's Jewelry.
It's Saturday, so she might not be doing that. But, you know, who knows? This is random, but the next scene we see Lucy in the kitchen and she's like preparing the rice, mm-hmm. which she'll explain later. But can you still get juice in a can?
I think you
like
can get
orange juice.
Frozen
then can
juice.
Get pineapple juice in a can. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the only juice that I know of that you can get in a can. Yeah, like the frozen juice that you put in a container, it's condensed and then you add water, but like not one that you can just pour straight out of the can, I don't think.
Yeah, not that I'm aware of. No, not that I'm aware of, but
we'll have to look.
Yeah. So she's, you know, using a can opener as the scene opens up to, you know, opening this can of OJ. And that's when Ethel comes in. And she kind of tells her little plan of reminding Ricky about their upcoming anniversary, which is very clearly marked on the calendar.
Oh, yeah.
On the 19th.
Which normally isn't there. So that calendar.
Yeah.
I don't know where. Yeah. They usually have like the, it's like this set for holding serving spoons.
Mm-hmm.
And they usually have that there. So it threw me off. And then they put a postcard over the month.
So you went in the year.
You don't know in the year so that you don't know exactly through the years. But the hints that she comes up with are rice for breakfast, you know, showered at brides on their wedding day. And then she's got the 19th. We mentioned that. And then the wedding ring she puts next to his breakfast plate. And then at the, like, as a last stitch effort, she'll come out with a bouquet of flowers,
aka carrots.
The wedding march.
Yes.
Yes.
And she circled the 19th we mentioned, but the continuity is off all over the place because later on in Hollywood anniversary in season 4, the date is the 7th. You know how he forgets it. And so he calls Connecticut, the Hall of Records or something like that. And they wire him back that the date that they got married was actually on the 7th. They don't mention what 7th of what month, just the 7th, but even that's wrong. So, but it is correct for Lucy and Desi, who were married, actually remarried. the second time at the Catholic Church on June 19th. So there's a 19th there, but yeah, it's sort of all over the place for that. Now, rice in a Hispanic household is not unusual, you know, because
you have rice for breakfast.
I haven't lately, but it's not unusual because you'll have eggs, beans, and rice.
I was going to say, I
or a burrito, done,
like breakfast bowls where I do like rice and scrambled eggs.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Which is so why it's funny
not when, that far off.
Right. When Ethel comes in and like, says, nobody does.
Yeah. Well, right. It's not that far off.
Maybe not New York City, but that's why Desi didn't, or Ricky didn't find it unusual, because she thought maybe she was trying to remind him of his childhood, which consisted of.
How sweet of you.
Thanks. You know, and
you put butter in your rice, though?
I don't.
That seemed a little weird.
My husband does that.
But maybe it's a breakfast thing, so.
Oh, but it tastes good on white rice, but white rice is usually like a more Asian cuisine type of thing. But now I'm getting hungry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Talking about rice. When Ethel is like, listen, I can't bear to watch this. Tell me how it goes. She leaves, and that's when Ricky comes in and Lucy really starts laying it on. You know,
are you so she, like this about your anniversary? Like if it's coming up, do you wait to see if your husband knows, or just kind of like, let's plan it out anyway?
We pretty much plan it out together.
Yeah.
So we'll plan out the dinner together if we're, you know, making it. So we have a pretty specific dinner that we, you know, just like steak and potato. Mm-hmm. I love steak. So that's
this episode is making me, because I haven't eaten dinner.
But then let's see. I don't have shame in saying this, but sometimes I just ask him what he wants for a present.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'd rather get him something he wants or needs that maybe I don't know about that, like, mm-hmm. you know, I wouldn't have been able to guess. And then I just get him something that he'll never use, you know?
Yeah.
So we talk about it. It's not something
that I think he'll forget. It's not a quiz or a gotcha thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it's birthdays and anniversaries are, sometimes I feel like people overdo it with the getting upset sort of thing, but communication is key. There's reasons, not because someone doesn't love you, but it's a whole other episode. My psychology episode.
Therapy, yeah.
And so, you know, so again, she's trying with the rice, she's trying with the circled date, she's trying with the ring next to the plate.
He says, you know, the date that it's just the day that the trash is taken out.
Aww.
And then on top of all of that, she gets scolded for leaving her ring because it costs him $50, which now would be about $559.
So she's like, oh, that ring means a lot to you, doesn't it?
And it's absolute, just because of the money.
Yeah, $50 ring. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So then she throws on the towel, kitchen towel, and she, you know, grabs a bunch of carrots and does the wedding march. She hums the wedding march and
he doesn't even look at her. I think he doesn't look at her because he would just burst out laughing because she looks ridiculous.
Yeah, and she'd probably cry after that too.
Yeah, so he kind of like just backs out, right? He's like, all right, I have to go to talk to Fred. And he like backs out.
I wrote the word obvious because the man just, you know, okay, I'm done. I have to go see Fred. Nobody reacts like that. It's very
also he took like 2 bites of his meal. Like for someone who was super excited to have rice, like
he
didn't actually eat it all.
He didn't say much. He didn't say bye. Well, and again, right. He wasn't leaving. He was just
he wasn't leaving. He just went to go chit-chat, but not really.
She starts cleaning the famous ivy plates after he leaves. And I wrote Ethel comes in being so obvious again. Oh, I'm sorry. This is Fred comes in looking for Ricky.
Fred first. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's not being obvious because he doesn't know that Fred or Ricky was looking for him. And he asks, you know, hey, where's Ricky? And Lucy's like, well, he just went looking for you. So
far, innocent enough.
Right. So he goes and looks for, he's like, all right, well, I'll go catch him on the way down.
Yeah.
And then that's when Ethel comes in pretty quickly after that. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And this is where she does that. She does that. She's so weird when she's trying to pretend she doesn't know something, you know,
obvious,
you know? Yeah. And what she's, you know, sitting on, what her little secret is that she saw Ricky go into
the foster apartment. There's nothing suspicious yet.
Yet.
So, okay, so Ricky comes back in.
It's a lot of back and forth. He says, you know, yep, I found him. And she went, well, it must have been a quick conversation. And that's where he kind of is like, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Gives her a little kiss.
Right.
And walks out and he's giggling. He's like smiling.
And then Fred comes back in.
Yeah. And then Fred comes back and is like, I can't find him anywhere. Lucy's like, listen, Ricky just said he talked to you.
Now, where would your mind go?
Like, I need to find him.
Because one of us is losing our mind. Yeah.
It's just that he's hiding something.
Yeah.
Because that's weird, you know? Mm-hmm. And Fred's, of course, like, well, one of us is crazy. If he did talk to me, then I forgot it and I'm crazy. Right.
So Ricky's gone. He talked to me. Fred is gone. And then that's when Ethel comes in and she's looking all, you know, suspicious and obvious. Suspicious. Yeah. And she says, good Bailey Sarian reference. You know, the weirdest thing just happened. You know, Ricky said he's going to see Fred. Fred said he was going to find him. He came back and said he talked to him. And Fred says he hasn't talked to him. It's very, very strange. Why would he say that? You know, she's very innocently trying to rack her brain as to what's happening. And Ethel's like, no, it's true.
When she did the Queen of Hearts, you know, it's like that same type of reaction where she pulls them all over. It's like nothing.
Yeah. So she says, you know, something, because her face is, it's written all over her face and she's, you know, trying to avoid telling her, but at the same time looking very suspicious. And she says, okay, well, where do you think he was when he told you he was going to go see Fred? Well, he was downstairs at the foster apartment, which is not a big deal because he and Mr. Foster, I assume, are friends. She says, no, it's fine, except that Mr. Foster's out of town. So that's when, as was stated in the previous Milkman episode, they're both jealous of her looks.
Yeah.
So they already don't like her.
Right. Of course, Ethel is like, she's got nothing on you. You've got a better figure.
She's feeling herself. She's like,
yes. Okay. And then Ethel's like, you know what? There's nothing that she has that you don't have. And this pathetically sad line. She's like, she has one thing. And Ethel goes, what? She goes, Ricky.
Oh, man.
Okay. But I mean, even though I would think, you know, it's a bit suspicious. If, you know, they saw that and then, you know, my friend saw him coming, I wouldn't go straight to like having an affair. Maybe I should, but I'm trusting. So I feel like I would.
I would totally go they're having an affair.
You would.
See, if, how do I say this? The two things have to happen for your mind to go there. If he acted weird, but Mr. Foster was home, no biggie. If he acted normal, but he wasn't home, you know, well, no, that's where it's still a little weird, but you wouldn't have a reason to worry less because your mind isn't going anywhere. But both of those things together makes your mind, at least mine, go there. But, you know, now she's freaking out. She's crying. She's really crying. She's doing the famous Lucy cry. And so we cut to Ricky singing
Down to Argentina Way.
Yeah.
By Mac Gordon and Harry Warren. Sorry. It was originally sung by Betty Grable and Don Emek. How would you say that? In a film called Down Argentina Way in 1940. And it was nominated for an Oscar, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I did not listen to it because really? On the time crunch. So I was like trying to see what I could speed through.
Fun fact, Desi Arnaz and Betty Grable dated. They were a thing for a minute.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. And so, I'd listen to it because I just do.
You had the time. If I had the time, I definitely would have.
Yeah.
If I didn't feel like I wanted to wrap it up quickly, I definitely would have listened to it because I like the scenes where he gets to sing.
Yeah.
And this is where we see
the agent again.
Yes, the agent Herb Vigran.
That's the actor. Yeah, Julie is
as Julie, mm-hmm. but Herb is who plays him. And we just saw him on the saxophone, and then he would play Mr. Trumbull's nephew. I think we talked about that.
The washing machine repair man.
Yes. and so
Oh, and he's also the one who does the Martians, who hires the girls to play the Martians in on the Empire State Building, and Lucy's envious.
Yes. So he made 6 appearances on the Lucy show. And he actually also was cast in The Life of Riley, which we just talked about.
Mm-hmm. With the Grace Foster character.
Yeah, he was playing Riley's coworker. So him and Gloria Blondell shared 5 episodes, but they never had any scenes together.
Now, Julie and Fred are just guys being right. guys. When they hear of this Grace Foster situation,
right,
he comes in, like, you know, saying some dame called you saying she'll let you know when the coast is clear.
He's whispering, which yeah. is like, it's nice. He's watching out for Ricky, right? Real quick, before we cut to Desi singing, mm-hmm. I don't know if you noticed this, but there's a Desi Lee production.
Oh, yes.
Is it a camera or lighting something?
Some sort of equipment. It says DLP on it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think they forgot to cover it or whatever. But anyways, he's hush-hushing and saying, you know, she said to meet you at the apartment instead of coming here. And,
right.
and Ricky's like, it's fine. It's just business. Yeah. And he goes, okay, business.
Now, how would Mrs. Foster know when the coast is clear? What coast? What clear? How would she know?
Lucy.
Yeah.
If Lucy's not right outside her door, the coast is clear. They live 2 floors below, so it's not.
Interesting.
I feel like if as long as she's not in the hallway, then.
I mean, I know what the coast clear means. I'm just saying, right. How would she know? That's all I'm saying. But anyway.
Just peek out the hallway. Like, yay.
You're good to go. Okay. So, yeah. So he's saying, no, it's, you don't have to whisper. It's business. I can't tell you, but it's business. Although I wish he would have told him. I mean, there's no harm in telling him, but, you know, just so he doesn't think he's sneaking off. But anyway, that's where he could have goes.
Totally. There was no way he doesn't talk to Lucy. Like,
yeah. So, and of course, he's delivering this information with this big, you know, smile on his face because he's in on a secret affair happening.
Uh-huh. But, mm-hmm. And Fred will see quite soon has a very similar reaction. Yes. So the next scene is Ricky, right, sitting on the couch, mm-hmm. and Fred comes in and says, you know, hey, what did you want? And Ricky goes, what?
From yesterday.
from earlier today.
They still can't find each other.
Yeah. And Ricky goes, oh, you know what? I just wanted to go see Grace Foster. And I used you as an excuse. And Fred gets so excited.
My gosh.
I was like, dude,
you're
down.
Happy that this man is having an affair on his wife. And immediately that's where your mind goes. Number one. Number two, you're happy about this because finally there'll be some excitement around here. I think he said, or I don't know.
Yeah, scandal or something like that. But sir, really, like
somebody else
want that on your best friend, you know?
Yes. The answer is yes.
Anyways, yes, apparently.
Fred likes the ladies and he likes stories about other men liking the ladies. We've established that. Yeah. You know, like when they go to Florida and they have all these models coming up to meet with Ricky. Yes. I mean, the man is unhinged.
Yes.
When it comes to women. So,
yeah, he's definitely disappointed when he finds out that Ricky's spying Lucy Pearls and not having an affair on her.
Yeah. And so he tells him, Ricky does, that Lucy's not speaking to him because she still thinks that he forgot their anniversary. So
Ricky doesn't know that she's suspicious about Grace Foster.
The affair thing.
That's really why she's not talking to him.
Right. And so she comes in very upset, you know, sitting and avoiding both of them. I think Fred says hello. She says hello. And she's just very mad, you know, reading her paper. And so Fred's like, I'm going to go check that thing again. Everyone being so obvious in this episode, he leaves and, you know, the phone rings again.
He jumps up or runs. So obvious.
They need to change the name of this episode.
Hello, Sam. And that, of course, tips Lucy off. It's like, oh, must be.
If I ever hear my husband pick up a call of somebody actually named Sam,
hey, Sam,
I'm gonna take the phone. And so, you know, he runs, you know, to the phone again, says the Sam thing, which makes her antenna go up and goes to the bedroom to listen
on
the extension.
Can't do that anymore.
You know, I used to do that. That
other people that really solicited on people.
Oh no, no, I'm saying I'm that old that we had those phones connected like that when I was a kid.
She does, and she hears the tail end of this conversation, right?
Like, yeah.
Right, because she misses the very important part that he's saying about the pearls, mm-hmm. and
she walks in on the worst about time.
Right.
Does Lucy suspect Lucy anything?
Suspect anything? It would be horrible if she knew. Yeah, really, really bad. I was like, well, okay. And so she gets this like dazed look in her eye. I have to say, this shirt that she has on, mm-hmm. the black one with like the holes, mm-hmm. not one of my favorites.
Oh.
It makes my eyeballs do weird things when I look at it because there's so many. I don't know how it's different.
Yeah,
I know what you're
saying. Yeah.
But then like the
polka dot dress.
Polka dot dress, but it mm-hmm. for some reason it is.
Interesting.
Anyways, like there's nothing wrong with it. It just does weird things to my eyeballs.
Yeah,
so,
sometimes like those types of designs kind of become third dimensional and kind of uh-huh. you know mess with it
distracts me.
Uh-huh. And so she's thinking she just heard, you know, she says, you know, can you come now? And he's like, I'll be right there. And she's like, he ran to her waiting arms, you know. So he says, I gotta go downstairs and again, so obvious, check something with Fred or something like that. And she goes into a trance, you know, she's kind of frozen in time. Way. She waves kind of in like a doll or a puppet. And, you know, she's still in this trance when Ethel comes in and, you know, catches her in mid trance. And, you know, he ran to her waiting arms. They're in her apartment now. You would think if he was just going to leave me like this, he'd leave me a gold watch or at least a letter of recommendation.
Letter of recommendation. I love that. God. Could you imagine like this is going to be sad, but could you imagine going through divorce proceeding being like, I demand a letter of recommendation.
My gosh. 10 out of 10 would recommend.
Then why are you leaving her?
Obviously, it's 9 out of 10.
They're trying both to figure just out how to see what's going on.
Yeah, but they're both kind of like coming to the realization, Ethel, that she's correct, and Lucy's that she's correct, I guess, you know, the whole assumption is correct. And she says, oh my gosh, Ricky and Grace Foster. And so they're saying, you know, I'm not going to go down without a fight, essentially, is what Lucy's attitude is. So they run down to the furnace pipe.
Well, I want to mention that at first she says, you know, how about you just lower me down by my ankles?
Because she wants to spy on them.
Yeah. And she's like, no.
It's too high.
It's too high. I could drop you. Just, there's that. Okay, yeah. Like that's the only problem. So yes, then they go down to the basement to use the furnace pipe, which is the Snooper's friend, mm-hmm. which I think is funny because in the gossip, that's how the boys found out they
you
were
see
talking.
You been gasping again.
Yeah. And they hear, so they hear voices coming from 4B.
That's this is my favorite. I don't know why.
They're not credited, but it's suspected that it's Barbara Pepper and Richard Reeves. Yeah. Richard Reeves is actually Bill Foster, who mm-hmm. played Bill Foster.
Right. In the big gossip. Big guy.
Yes.
But I just love that because this is they get so bad. Albert, come eat your lunch. And she says, and then Ethel goes into
Ethel, come in two A, Albert.
That's like Tilly.
The trance. Tilly. And Ethel so, to Tilly. Ethel to
like she's
Tilly.
Doing the seance all over again.
Uh-huh.
And so she says, come in 2A. That's the apartment that you know the Fosters live in. And so they start listening to bits and pieces of it. And the camera the scenes cut back and forth from the furnace area to the apartment. So he says, you know, I'll take this one. Well, there's more. I'll take this one. No, there's more. And so when they first hear them, she says, you know, let's open up another case. And he's like, oh my God, they're up there drinking.
Yeah. and then he talks about how he's decided.
Oh, not
very
yet.
Hard. Well, he does talk about how it's for the sweetest.
Yeah.
She says, you know, so most I'm wonderful. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead. First of all, he asks Grace to stand in the light.
That's where I was going with that.
Right.
Yeah.
because we know that he's probably looking at the pearls, wants to see how they look.
How they look.
In the light. Right. But Lucy doesn't know that. And
he thinks he wants her to like admire her beauty in the window.
Right. And he says how, you know, beautiful I think that the pearls are, and you know, and then Grace is like, well, I've always heard that what Latin men are flatterers or something like that.
He always tells me to move out of his light, or move out of the window, says I'm standing in his light. And so, yeah, it does sound, I mean, you know, in
it's definitely super bad sounding.
Yeah.
You know, because then they hear, they hear how, you know, he really knows how to get expensive gifts, give expensive gifts. And she's going, what, you know?
Yeah, it's heartbreaking, though. I mean, listen, we all know the actual story going on behind the scenes with the Lernezes. And so a lot of these plot stories and, you know, synopsis of these episodes center around Ricky perhaps having affairs, other women. It's never Lucy. And so it's just a little heartbreaking. It's funny, and it's delivered perfectly. And the physical comedy is hilarious here. But just the idea that you see her being heartbroken throughout the entire thing, all the way until the very end, is just it's a lot. You know, when you think about their real life situation. So they says, you know, they spot the painter's uniforms that are left over the weekend, because it was established earlier that the painters were there. And, you know, we're going to throw these on and go down the window and, you know, kind of
peek in there.
See what's going on in that. You know, they could have just knocked.
But I've been like, hey.
I mean, if they're mid something, then you'll find out, you know.
Yeah, or, well, you know,
Ethel is the landlady, so you've got the master key.
Walk in.
Get in there.
Right. But no, no, no.
These, no, we got to make it hard on ourselves.
Yes. So you see them, you know, coming down. You get to see that, you know, Ricky's trying to unclasp the pearls, so he's real close.
Yeah,
it does. I guess it's stuck or something. It looks really bad. Ethel notices it at first. Mm-hmm. Behind her, this is just fun. Behind her, when she's on the painter scaffolding, there's a billboard for Jansen. Mm-hmm. it's a swimwear company. It was founded in 1916. It's still in business today. Its logo, so that you'll see it, is an image of a young woman, you know, diving into somewhere. Anyways, and then also the caps that she has on, they have on, are Sinclair of Southern California. Mm-hmm. It was a paint store in 1928, but then built itself into a major manufacturer for paint products for the region. It was absorbed by corporate mergers in the 1980s.
And anyways, that's behind her on the building, behind her
and on the hat.
Scaffolding. Yeah.
Those are the two things on the hat. So
she points out that makes it look like, look, he's kissing her, right? Because from that angle, it looks like he's got his arms around her, but really he's unclasping the necklace. And so, you know, Lucy's outraged. She lets go of the rope. And if you have a fear of heights, this is not the thing to do. It falls on one side, which means the paint cans are going everywhere. And, you know,
this is my question. They didn't have to paint. They weren't going to paint. They were going to spy. They didn't need to bring paint.
That's true. That's very true.
So why? And then also, how did she fall that it fell directly on her head? Like, how would you have had to fall for your head to go straight into the bucket?
I know. So let's say it went this way, kind of like a seesaw action. So it goes down on one side and the paint bounces because it's open. Again, I don't know why it's open. And then it just goes everywhere. I don't have the answers, Lucy. I don't
know. The bucket is directly on her head. Like, she definitely stepped out of frame and someone like tipped it over onto her head.
Because Lucille Ball is a comedic genius and will absolutely just get paint dumped on her head for comedic effect, even if it makes no sense. So she's got paint everywhere. Fred is now, how in the world does Fred know that Ricky is there to let him know that these guys on the window are having a crisis?
Well, and he just say Ricky's name.
He doesn't.
Or does he just burst in?
Because he might have just known
that it was there
at that window
that it happened, and
in that apartment.
Then it was like, oh, Ricky, look at you, and then continued on.
Yeah. So you are having an affair. Oh.
Oh, hey.
So they pull the
girls in.
Yeah, he comes in because he's aware that this crisis is happening, thinking that it's the men that are hanging from the window.
All I could think of was when they were pulling Lucy in, I was like, he's going to have to pay for the jewels and to get that couch
reupholstered. Because it went everywhere.
Something. It was all over the place. She was like dripping on the rug, on the couch.
Yes.
On everywhere. The coffee table. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, this is going to cost him a pretty penny.
It is. That's and
what you get for lying.
But he wasn't doing anything wrong. Except for lying.
For lying, yes. Yeah.
And so, you know.
Not well.
They are picking Lucy up and, you know, pulling her into the apartment. Again, not knowing that it's Lucy, just that it's a painter, you know. And they're saying, what's making her so heavy? Of course, it's an Ethel fat joke. Because, you know. She emerges and Fred's like, oh, no wonder.
Oh, no wonder. This one's heavier or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And so here you would think that, okay, the anger is appropriate because you could have gotten yourself killed, you know, both of you, and, you know, because you misunderstood, but also you drove her to this.
Right. It's not like the ideas were unfounded. Like,
yeah,
you know, and so, you know, I dislike how he then plays
continues.
It. Like they're going to run away to Mexico together.
Yeah.
But so finally.
He says, like, we've decided, you know, there's enough jewelry here for two people to run off and live happily ever after. And so she's, you know, saying, so does that mean that you and her? Yes, we've decided. And it just, you're going to stretch it out. She's been through a lot emotionally in the last 2 days. And then they finally tell her that, you know, these are the ones that we're choosing, the pearls for your anniversary. And everyone's happy. And he kisses her. She kisses him. And paint goes everywhere. And I'm curious what was actually used.
Yeah.
For the illusion of paint.
Colin was like, so paint, was there lead in that at the time? I don't know.
You asked too many questions. We don't know.
Do you notice that the pearls, he didn't clasp it right, so they fell?
Oh, no.
The pearls fall. And then when she turns,
that's right,
they're still stuck to her side and then fall onto the ground.
Yeah, she didn't care.
Colin was like, why did he put pearls on her paint? Now they've got paint all over them and now they've fallen to the ground.
Now you have to buy these and now there's the expenses are endless in this.
Now you have to get them washed, cleaned or something. Yeah. I don't know.
It's a happy ending, but it went unnecessarily. The lie went unnecessarily long for the gift. And yeah, I didn't appreciate her emotional turmoil the entire episode.
What did you think of the episode?
I liked it. It is, you know, I like the physical comedy. I love the furnace pipe scene. I just don't appreciate when it's a plot line about her thinking that she's getting her heart broken again and again. And it's happened so many times. It's, you know, it's used as a funny storyline, but it's really not funny.
Right.
But other than that, if you don't look too deep into it, if you don't know too much, it's a really good episode. It's cute. It's funny. You know, and I think a lot of episodes are based on spouses, mainly husbands, not knowing a wife's birthday or an anniversary date or something like that, which my husband and I share the same birthday. And I just wish that wasn't the case because I just would like to know if he would ever just remember on his own. But. Other than that, it was good.
You know what? Semi-embarrassing story. We were at the doctor's with Apollo at the ER, and they asked for his birthday. And Colin said the wrong date. And I went...
You mean Apollo's? 21st, your son's?
Apollo's birthday. Oh. Yeah, they asked for Apollo's birthday. My son's. And Colin, my husband, said the wrong one. And I went, no, it was the 21st. And he went... No, I'm pretty sure. And I went, I'm the one
I was there.
Delivered him. I remember.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I don't know where it was. I think it was TikTok. I saw this video that this, the concept of not knowing specific dates in being sure that it is very common. I think it was the girl who was admiring her stepfather, and every year she would text him and her mom happy anniversary on the same date over and over. And he would write back, thanks, sweetie. Right. And one day the mom was like, she wrote happy anniversary. And it's like, you do know this is mine and your dad's anniversary. You've been texting him all these years. So, you know, she messed up the date with the dad's anniversary, but he's just so kind that he just like, oh, thank you. You know, didn't want to hurt her heart. But in the comments, so many people had a birthday wrong. I could have sworn my daughter's birthday was on so-and-so day, especially if you have multiple kids, you know, and
oh, yeah.
you can forget something like that.
I can't even
like
believe
that.
The ones where the birthdays are close. I think Colin and his brothers are close.
Mm-hmm.
And Colin's, I don't know his brothers, but anyways,
an age that you just keep saying over and over that you just, it makes sense to you.
Oh gosh. They ask me how old I am now. And I was like, once I pass 25, I don't know. Am I 20, 25, 26, 27? I'm somewhere. One of these ages. One time I literally went from like 25 up to 27. I was like, no, I promise I'm 27.
I'm not even going to tell you what happens at mine. So it's going to, because at some point I'm just not going to care. I mean, I'm very close.
I am an age. It's fine.
I'm old enough. Okay. So I know things. I had a phone with an extension. How old do you think I am? So just move on. Yeah. But anyway. So yeah, this is a fun episode.
I definitely, when we said it was the anniversary one, I definitely thought we were watching the sentimental anniversary, which is season 3, episode 16, where they hide in the closet.
Yeah.
Why I was so excited. There's 3 of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's 1 and 4, season 4 as well, called Hollywood Anniversary.
That's the one where he forgets it again and they give him the wrong date. But what I love about that sentimental one is that dress she has on. All I picture is that beautiful, I think it's like a lace roses dress.
Yeah. It's got like flowers with vines that connect up top.
Our friend Carrie has that. I wonder, because it's just so beautiful. Mm-hmm. So yeah. With that.
That's the end of the episode though. So yeah. And we've been chit-chatting for a while. People are like, I tuned out 5 minutes ago. What do you finish the episode? You're boring.
Yeah.
It's our life. So
no personal lives. Okay. No. So yeah. Next episode will be number 4. What is number 4? What's number 4? Number 4 is the handcuffs.
Maybe we should finally print them out.
This is embarrassing. This next is literally one, what your podcast
is about.
I'm going
to do tomorrow
no, you're not.
At work.
No.
Yeah, I'm going to write it all out.
Okay.
So I'll show you. I'll show everyone.
Okay, so next episode after this is the handcuffs, which is another hilarious one. So find us everywhere, havingaballpod@gmail.com, for comments, suggestions, or telling us how much you don't like the rambling on that we do. Having a Ball Podcast on Facebook, Having a Ball Pod on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, all the things. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks, guys. Bye.